I don't know about you, but it was like Christmas morning of like predictability. You know what I mean? Like, you
were waiting for it.
Yeah. You knew it was coming. They hate each other. They only love themselves.
I'm J.R. Phillips. I'm the one that won't shut up. And yeah, you can't make me. Okay.
And I'm Nico Harlekenden. I'm the one who took notes, lit them on fire, and then started a completely separate new project instead.
And welcome to BAM! Now you know everything!
So I charted the locations of the closest bookstores where we want to have our events, and then also I'm cross-referencing it with lodging options. I have them highlighted, and I'm going to email them to you later.
Oh, perfect. I jumped the gun, and I messaged a couple of them.
Nice. Did you CC or no?
No. So how the websites work is like it just has to be a forum. Like, or not a form. And then it goes in and then you have to put like all your information and then they reach out to you. So I got one that reached out that asked us to fill out an author's form to see if we'd be a good fit. And I'm like, of course they're going to be like, they want to make money from this. Like, I get it. But
also make sure we're not going to be a liability for their brand reputation.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even think. Oh, it's a liability. So we have been barring our communication that we're only talking about juicy stuff or updates or whatever on the pod, which
save
is
it for the pod,
which makes it kind of funny when we're just like sending TikToks to each other. And then we're like,
don't talk about it.
Don't talk about it, though. Okay? Yeah.
Agreed. We got to delete the stuff we've talked about, too.
Oh, yeah. Like, keep up with the note.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm a hoarder of notes. I like to keep all of my notes together.
Oh.
If I looked at my notes, I think I have a note from, like, 2017.
I learned this week that dopamine is the chemical that makes you pursue and anticipate things. So it's like your motivator, and then serotonin is like the reward. So dopamine's stronger than the actual reward of achieving it.
Which makes sense because you always feel more when you're pursuing a win, you know, fighting.
Thrill of the chase.
Yeah, you know, hard to get. We love that. That's, you know, as humans, nobody likes the easy prey, you know.
Unless it's a hamburger. Love those.
Don't make me murder any cows, but if it's right there, all right, who am I to say anything? Are we ready? Because I'm ready. I am. I don't know about you, but it was like Christmas morning of like predictability. You know what I mean? Like, you
were waiting for it.
Yeah. You knew it was coming. They hate each other. They only love themselves. Like, we have to remember that. The whole point of anybody that's in power is that they believe innately that they're better than the average person. Right. And then you have these two super egos with sycophants surrounding them. And they're just like yelling at each other, saying things that we've already known, right? Like, we know Trump's in the Epstein files.
Yep.
We've known this.
Yep.
But, you know, Elon got you to go out and buy all those Teslas recently, like jabronis. And now you guys got Teslas. And now he's telling you, like, hey, actually, that guy that you worshipped for over like however many years, he's actually a piece of garbage.
Yep.
Oh, you don't wish for retribution, but you kind of just want retribution.
Yeah. It's very juicy popcorn type material. Even though we were anticipating some kind of fall from grace like this, it doesn't make it any less enjoyable.
Right. Yes.
Reading the tweet from the platform this jabroni had to buy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That he bought with the same conditions that he even pulled Doge in. So, like, if we think about that, oh, I'm buying Twitter because there's all these bots all over it and we've got to take care of it and all this censorship and blah, blah, blah. And then what happened is nothing. Like, actually,
it got worse.
Yeah. And they were wrong. Very incorrect. Now he did the same thing. Oh, we're going to bring Doge in and we're going to find all these like spending and all these inflation things that are like nefarious. And they found like what? Less than 17% or 1% or something low.
Waste, fraud, and abuse.
Yep. We all Very know low. That the government wastes, frauds, and abuses us. We're in
any large entity. Schools, but we need them.
Right. And it's also
corporations, like, left, right, and center, but we don't need them. But
we like need them, but we don't like need them in the way that it's presented.
Like, we don't need giant corporations. We can have stores and things without,
like
multinational conglomerates,
like Walmart and Target, you know?
Yeah.
We love a Target, okay? I don't love it now, but there was a time. And as a teacher, a Target, you get Target gift cards. Like, that's what you get for, like, teacher appreciation and stuff. Like, because parents know it's affordable. It has everything there that a teacher could probably want. One-stop shop kind of deal. Yeah,
but
no, not anymore. I still haven't stepped into a Target.
Yeah.
People are just at a boiling point. And we thought the Civil War would be between the right and the left, but I think it's actually going to be between the right and the right. The right and the more far right right now.
You think?
Mm-hmm. Because of the two factions within our administration, right? You have Trump and his cronies. And Project 2025ers, right? And then on the other side, you have Elon and his following tech bros. I'm sure everybody's tired of, you know, World War II comparisons and stuff like that. But Joseph Goebbels was that guy, right? That spread the propaganda easily and fear-mongered. I don't know exactly who will send out the propaganda in a direct hit. You know what I mean? In a skillful way, if there's going to be infighting, right? Because they're going to be split. It's going to be targeted within instead of without onto the people that don't deserve to be targeted, you know, like immigrants and women and people of color and everything in between, especially during Pride Month. I mean, for this to happen during Pride.
Red herring.
Yeah.
I feel like that's just something to pit us against each other, like a distraction.
Yeah. It's like Morgan Freeman, I think, said it best about Black History Month, right? He didn't want, like, what's the point of having the month?
Yeah. Juneteenth is coming up. And, like, I mean, Martin Luther King Jr., is now being propped up as a liberal touchstone. He hated liberalism. He thought that those sensibility politics didn't go far enough. He thought that it was too easy for people to say, oh, well, that's not the right way to do things. You shouldn't be protesting, even peacefully.
Right.
And then they just totally, like, I guess almost whitewash it or gentrify his, like, legacy.
Yeah. And the bottom line is he became the spokesperson for the white people, right, to prop up and be like,
to feel better.
Look at what we've done, you know? Meanwhile, demonizing Black Panthers and the real movers and shakers and, you know, not really knowing anything or being taught anything. It was just taught about Harriet Tubman and Martin Luther King.
Wow.
You know? Yeah. And then it wasn't until, like, I got older and I was like, oh, there's, like, a ton of horrible, horrible history that no one is ever teaching.
Yeah. There's no money in it, right? Or control. There's no control in it either.
Right. It's just, like, dystopian. You have to get into some fun stuff. I feel like we're just going to go on and on about the state of this fucking world.
Your feelings are valid.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, my God. The girls are fighting. I hate that people keep saying the girls are fighting when they're talking about.
What the hell does that mean? I haven't been on TikTok a lot this week. I've definitely gone down a scroll hole, but I don't have fun things to bring. I feel like my feed is crap. So what is that?
No, it's just some AOC said, oh, the girls are fighting about Trump and Elon. And then other people are saying the girls are fighting. And I know it's to make them upset. But I hate it. Do you see how like the patriarchal bullshit that sounds?
Yeah. They're trying to emasculate them through misogyny.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't fight with other women. I rarely am fighting with other women. I mean, I'm rarely fighting in general. Don't notice me. I don't want to be perceived. Okay. But
hell yeah.
But in the end, I'm just like, what do you mean? Fighting like they're all the girls are fighting through tweets. More men fight in tweets than women. I have show me 15 women fighting that are not reality TV stars about to have a freaking season coming out.
Drumming up business.
Yeah. Like, just show me something that's not like a publicity stunt and I'll see merit. Because in the classroom, the boys are fighting. Okay. The boys are getting upset.
It's the boys.
And yeah. the girls are too, because they're freaking kids and they can't process emotion. So they have an excuse. Okay.
They're depleted of dopamine. They need nap time.
I need nap time. I'm jealous. Okay. Answer me this.
Yeah.
Dungeons and Dragons question. Okay. On the percentile die.
I cede to you. I don't know. I have to look it up every time.
No. There's no wrong answer.
My friend Dave says that there is.
I say that there is. I have a very stubborn opinion about it. But okay. There's no rule that's actually written. The D&D community is like split, right?
For people that don't play D&D, let's tee it up. What's the big hubbub?
About D&D? Like, why is it amazing?
Oh, no. Not that far.
Okay, I was like,
that's me rewinding it. No, more about like 100 percentile. What the hell is that? I know D&D is stories told with each other and you use dice. But for someone who's never rolled that many sides.
Okay, so if you are in the club of only playing with six-sided boring dice, let me break it down for you, okay? In the D&D world, there are several dice ranging from D4 all the way up to, like, I think there's a 100-sided die that you can roll through, especially, like, if you're going to have a character decide, like, what magical creature. For example, I played this, like, pixie one, and in this pixie carnival, we had to roll a 100-sided dice, which was crazy, and I got to find out what my pixie name was based on my role, right?
Yeah.
I think I got like cotton candy or something.
Cute.
It was just like a cute little pixie campaign. So in terms of percentile and like a D10 or a 10-sided dice, because recently I found out that people don't know what a D10 is or means when they hear like D, so it means dice. So if you hear that, a percentile goes 10, 20, 30, 40, 60, 70, 80, 90, and 100. And then a 10-sided dice goes from 1 to 10.
Same shape.
And it's a little cool little UFO shape. Except now, like, the dice community are making, like, dice look really cool, like shards and stuff, and, like, cathedral dice. They're so pretty.
Gorgeous.
But my question to you, Nico, fellow DM, is that if you had a player roll a 10-sided dice or a percentile die, and they rolled a zero, but it's, I've already given what I believe my answer is through my description of what the dice are.
If it's a percentile and you're rolling the double zero, that's 100, right?
Yeah. Yes. But some people say that it's just zero. And they're like explaining it. And to me, I'm like, you're just incorrect. And I'm very sorry that you're so passionate about being incorrect. But why would my dice have a 10 and then a 2-0?
Yeah. Decimals.
Yeah. I don't like those. No. Mm-mm. As a DM, I'm not doing fractions or decimals. Mm-mm. Maybe I'll give you like half an inspiration. This will be like a D4 or something.
No. Ew.
I'll do that to motivate them because they're kind of getting better. They're not being as disappointing, but sometimes they're not being fully good.
Inspired. I heard a cool thing where there's a DM who she lets her players give each other inspiration.
Yeah. I like doing that. That's fun, too. Now, don't dodge for the 10-sided dice. What is the low for you on the 10-sided dice?
The low?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what do you mean?
Like, when you roll it, what is the crit and what is the...
The regular 10-sided 10?
Yeah, but they have a zero. So some people are like, that's a zero. It's 0 through 9, not 1 through 10. I think that... If it is a 10-sided dice, if it lands on the zero that signals 10 to me, that's a 10.
But that's a percentile die, not the 10-sided, right?
No. Like, where is my dice? Where are my dice? They're in the other room. I won't get them now. But sometimes the 10-sided dice has it. Okay.
Yes, but I thought there's like regular 10-sided dice, and then there's like the percentile 10-sided dice.
Yeah, but...
Not always.
Sometimes I think it's the dice companies. It all goes back to the companies trying to get us to be pitted against each other.
Big dice.
Big dice.
It's like lobbying against us.
Switching up the fonts.
Webdings.
It's funny because Will's like, I'm going to wait to play video games. I'm like, don't wait because this could go on for a while, dude. You better
jump right in. What's he playing?
Apex, Overwatch, all that stuff. He's not an RPG-er. He's a pew-pewer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still legit, but not as fun.
I think, I like RPGs when I'm by myself, but most of my, like, friends are not on RPGs. Like, it's hard to party up when you're doing a story. You know, because then you're like, I have to wait for my friend.
Yeah. Unless I had a friend named Andrew. He will love this shout out. He would come over to like my first apartment years and years and years ago. And we would be playing like Final Fantasy. And he would insist on reading out the dialogue so that he would feel like included. Oh, it was fun.
Oh, because it wasn't multiplayer.
It was not multiplayer. We're talking like FF7.
Yeah.
PS1. Back in the day.
I didn't really... So turn-based games, video games, are not my thing.
Yeah. You mean like the original Super Mario Brothers, where you die and you have to pass the controller to somebody else.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. And then he would lie to your sibling and be like, I didn't just die there.
This is me.
I've always been here, actually. You just missed what I was doing. That's all. Mm-hmm. Or if you died on the same, like, mushroom jump over and over and over again, you know, because it was, like, tricky.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, that didn't count. I get another turn. Pick it up on rules.
Prime negotiator.
Yeah, when you're When you're a sibling, you got to do it. Only child.
You learn either that skill or you bite each other.
I don't think I ever bit my sister, but I did accidentally chip her tooth.
My sister bit me and strangled me.
Oh, my God.
My little sister. Have you ever watched the Wild Thornberries?
Yeah.
When she was really little, I feel like she was like Donnie.
Okay.
She's like a little wild child. Yeah.
No, I get it. I definitely, my sister left a handprint on my back. She was mad. My sister used to scare me and tell me there was people living in the walls. And then she remembers it as her telling me stories. I remember it as surrounding myself with my stuffed animals, worried that people were watching me from the walls. Because I suffered from night terrors. And like she didn't, obviously, know my dreams. You know, but
not a villain.
No. But she was like, she'd make up these voices. And sometimes it'd be funny and I would laugh. But other times I'd be trembling.
Yeah. Shaking in your little boots, your little baby boots.
A little pajamas.
Footy pajamas.
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't have those, but.
I need my feet to be free.
Yeah. I feel like we didn't have a choice when I was super little. Those full zip ones with the feet attached.
Yeah, because they wanted to make sure, you know, that you're safe in there.
What?
whose idea? I guess like when you're a baby, you want that onesie life. But like, who decided that babies need to be in onesies? Like, who decided, hey, let's put this most difficult contraption we can on this creature that has no control over their limbs, and you're petrified you're going to break it because,
yeah,
it's a tiny little baby, and you have
the baby onesies with the snaps and the crotch. That makes sense. Easy diaper access. You get to keep the arms on.
But they could just wear a shirt and a diaper and some pants. Why do they have the whole kit and caboodle that I have to, like, you know what I mean? Like, when I was a babysitter, I was petrified all the time of, like, please just put your arm in here. And they'd be like, eh. And I'd be like,
you were a babysitter.
Get in there.
That's funny. It's like a bodysuit now. Have you not ever worn a bodysuit?
I hate bodysuits. I always get a wedgie from them. My butt is too big. I don't know how. And like I see online, people are like, oh, I bought this bodysuit, but I don't even button it. And I'm like, well, why did you get a bodysuit and not the tank top? Like, what does the bodysuit do that a tank top is not doing? And why are the buttons uncomfortable on my cooch?
Maybe I'm just way shorter.
Well, yeah, I don't know how tall you are. I've never met you before.
I'm 5'3".
Oh, wow. You are kind of short.
I'm just kidding.
It's funny.
How tall are you?
5'7".
I was going to guess like 5'5". Like, I'm sure you're not much taller than me.
What's funny is like, I collect shorties in my life.
Get real. I'm jacked. I'm super strong.
It
doesn't matter how tall I am.
Yeah. All right. You could put me over your shoulder, okay? I'm not saying that I'd win in a fight. I'm just saying that somehow a lot of my friends, I look like I'm freaking Jolly Green Giant with my Munchkin Village, like, following me around, like Wizard of Oz. Like, what's up? And then when we all take pictures together, I'm like, towering Amazon. And they're all like,
Galadriel.
So cute. And I'm like, yeah, that she is pretty tall.
Mm-hmm. And she's the best. She's my favorite.
Do you like Rings of Power? Have you watched that?
Wait, are there more than one? Is there more than one season?
Mm-hmm.
I've definitely watched the first and most of the second. It's okay. It's very different than I love it as a story.
See,
between two people. Villain, kick-ass lady, that's awesome.
Yeah. And I like the interpretation that they're going with. I think it's actually very accurate. And Lord of the Rings bros are going to come for me. And that's okay. They've been coming for me my whole life. and forums that I subject myself to. But I have like direct quotes in the Silmarillion that proves as to why Galadriel would act the way she acts in the show versus what she is quoted to do and say in the Silmarillion in general.
Sick.
She literally looks at her brethren that decided to make this pact like, oh, I swear we will not rest until the Silmarils are back, right? She's like, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not doing that because that seems like a curse. And it was a curse, and she knew it. And so she's like, oh, my God, you know. Anyway, so I totally understand people being upset at, like, how the elves maybe aren't quite as, like, badass compared to, like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in the Fellowship of the Ring, when they, in the Mines of Moria, when they kill the troll.
Yeah.
You have to remember, bring it back to D&D, that all of those characters besides the hobbits are like level 20 and beyond in the D&D world.
Yeah.
They have legendary actions. They are able to defeat a cave troll, barely, by the way, all survive while protecting what they need to protect.
That was a great scene. That's like the opening, right, of Rings of Power, like one of the first episode.
Yeah, so then they're fighting that troll and everybody's like, well, if a ragtag bunch of the Fellowship can defeat a troll, why can't these elves, like, defeat a troll easily? And it's like, because not all of those elves in general are going to be legendary level 20 characters. Like, just because you're an elf doesn't mean I'm going to automatically, like, defeat.
Auto-crit.
Yeah. Like, they're going to get bad dice rolls and make bad moves. Or it would be boring. Could you imagine? Oh, I'm Galadriel, so I'm, like, infinitely powerful, so I'm just going to step onto the battlefield, and they're all dead. Goodbye, the end. That's the
boring end
of the show. No. Like, whatever. It's okay.
I'm glad you like it, because that makes me feel less bad for saying, like, I fucking liked it. Like, yeah. It was very enjoyable.
Yeah, no, it's very good. I think that I do wish that the guy they got to play Thandrin. I'm getting that name.
I'm not that good. I don't remember those names.
Hold on. I got to get the name right or I will get hate in the comments.
We've been really loving the comments you guys are leaving on Spotify, too. So remember, if you're listening or watching, you can leave a comment and we'll read it and probably respond, whether it's on YouTube or Spotify. Maybe even
Celeborn.
Yeah.
No, the king. Elf king.
Thranduil?
Thranduil. Whatever. Well, cut this out, please. Honestly. Because...
The hottie, though, right? The hottie...
But he's
Orlando
not.
Bloom's dad.
What?
Orlando Bloom's dad.
Okay, that guy.
Lee Pace? Harvey? Wait, what's his name? Does he have three names? Like the Abraham Lincoln shooter?
If you go back to episode one where I said the most pretentious thing about me is that I don't know celebrity names, I don't know the names of any actors unless they are probably a lady I really enjoyed. Like,
yeah,
Kate Beckinsale. And, you know, why can't I think of any other?
Kate Blanchett.
Yeah, Kate Blanchett. A lot of Kates coming up.
Her name
Liv Tyler. She was good in that. Why can't I think of anyone else?
Who cares?
Okay. You know those guys with the microphones on the streets that will sometimes be like, hey, can I ask you a question? Or like, name one like female actor, like whatever. I would blank on the street and I would look like I don't know anything.
Yeah. Why do people stop for those? I would just be like, no.
It's funny because I just said how like bad I would do, but I would stop.
You would?
I would stop because I'd be like, hey, what's up? You want to talk? Okay. Well, an excuse for me to talk? All right. What's up? What do you need to know?
I love it. I love it. If it was a game, I would stop.
Yes. A game 1,000%. I used to tell Will that I would go on Love Island just to play the games, right? not like, I don't want to date anybody, obviously. But I would love to do some of those games. But then some of the games, like in more recent episodes, have gotten like seasons, have gotten like really gross. So I rescinded that.
What are the types of games? I'm a novice.
In Love Island?
Yeah.
They'll do like obstacle courses. Everything is about looking hot now, but it used to be like trivia. It used to be like fun games like that. But I think like now everything is more like, how hot can you look when you're doing this? Because it's a dating love show. So it definitely pivoted on it.
Gotcha.
I would love to do a reality game like show, like Survivor or The Challenge or like some like cringy reality show.
This could benefit our podcast. Like, even Theo Vaughn got a start on what, Road Rules?
Mm-hmm.
That was a fun show.
I love Road Rules. Real World versus Road Rules was the first, challenge.
Yeah.
And I was too young to really appreciate what they were doing. And now, like, I'll go back and I'll watch and I'll be like, oh, that's the strategy. On The Challenge, I think I would stay away from, like, all the heavy hitter names, you know?
Ah, okay.
Because they always get alienated, like Bananas and CT and Wes. Like they get alienated and voted out right away. So there's all your allies are gone. Like within the first couple, whatever.
Who's the host of Survivor? Jeff
Probst?
There's another one with those multiple consonants at the end.
Yeah. I think it's just Probst.
Probst.
Jeff Prober. Proberson.
A lot of UFO references. Can we do any more? This is the UFO episode. Have you ever thought that you were abducted?
No, sadly.
Yeah. I used to want to be abducted.
I still do. And also, like, there's a lot of, like, alien romance books, like, that have popped up recently, too. So it makes the incentive to, like, leave this planet.
Nice. That's actually, so, like, that's a common aspect of some of the lesser known, more interesting abduction stories, too. Alien romances and stuff like that from other dimensions.
Okay.
Can we deep dive here? Yes, please. Take it away.
No, this is not about aliens. This is about
Damn it. So soon. Soon.
I don't know. About aliens. I only know the most I know about aliens, besides like firmly believing that they exist, is whatever, you know, X-Files has said. And Forthkind, like those are like, I like sci-fi in the realms of like aliens, Men in Black, you know, they're here among us hiding out. Like, I like those kinds of things. Did you hear about that guy who claims that Lilith is his wife?
Yes. Okay. I only just saw a few. So take me on a tour. I have some context.
Okay. So this guy, I don't even know his name, whatever. But
Spectre?
Yeah. And he like...
Regina Spectre.
He went on this big video. He's known as like, why can't... A predator, right?
Yeah.
So amongst like the witchy side of TikTok.
Yep.
And he came out. And he stomped all over, like, Lilith's,
Yes.
What do you call that?
Sigil.
Yes. He stomped all over it and then also is, like, saying that she's his wife. And then he looks so dead in the eyes. It's kind of nuts.
Freaky.
But my favorite comment is, like, Lilith didn't even want Adam. Why do you think she wants you?
He is like the scummy looking dude. Just like probably not nice to anybody, not nice to himself.
And it's just like, even if you Right, if you don't have any context for Lilith's story, right? Because a lot of people, even if you grew up Catholic, like I was never taught this in Christian school. Like I was never taught at Sunday
school. CCD.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Hell yeah.
Flashbacks, PTSD of raising my hand and asking too many questions because I just didn't understand. Because like the sex ed part, I don't know if you ever had to do that part, but like when two people have sex, their hearts smush together like this. And then when they break up, it's and pieces of each other's hearts are stuck to each other. Now, I'm a literal person. In a way, because my imagination hears something that could be a figurative language and it automatically computes it as like, well, this could be real. And when you're a kid and you're hearing it, I like go home and I'm like, I don't really know anything about sex. And like, so
terrifying.
Yeah. So I'm going home. I'm like, mommy, like, do you have like a piece of daddy's heart? Like, you know, I don't understand. Like, and then my...
Whose fragments do you have in there?
Yeah. And it was just like a pretty funny topic of conversation. But anyway.
I cried to get out of CCD after only a couple of sessions. I'm like, I don't like this. I don't have to go into a box and tell this man my secrets. And then they let me not go.
Oh, that's nice. I am confirmed. You know, so I had to do all the bells and whistles.
Well, you're saved then.
Yeah.
So you'll be welcomed into the kingdom of heaven.
Maybe. I don't know if he's listening. Maybe not so much.
Not to what we're going to cut out of this.
But okay. So if you don't know Lilith's story out there, listeners, she was Adam's first betrothed, if that makes sense, right? And she hung out with him for a little bit. And she was like, I don't really like this guy. I don't like what he's really telling me to do. Like, it doesn't make sense. I'm not really happy here. And she kind of leaves him kind of high and dry. And he lies. He goes to God and he's like, hey, I don't like the one you got me. Because she doesn't submit enough. She doesn't listen to me. I want another one. And then that's why God was like, you know what? Give me this
rib. Wife.
Yeah. God was like, give me this rib because you lost the good one. Now I'm going to mold you one from you. You owe me. I ran out of materials.
The very first incel, Adam.
But before all that, God went to Lilith because she fled down to the underworld. And God went to her and was like, hey, could you just like come back? Because now I'm alone with this piece of shit. And Yelena left me. And like, you two are supposed to get along so that he's distracted so I can do my stuff. Like, I'm trying to make animals. I'm trying to make the world here. I need you to keep this guy busy. All he does is he wants to talk to me all day. And Lilith is like, no, I'm actually, like, really happy here. This guy is really beautiful. And he lets me be me and do, like, kind of like whatever I want down here. Adam was like kind of mean to me, probably hit her, probably, you know, whatever. That happened. And so then God went back, was like, yeah, she's not coming back. So here you go.
And divorce dad energy.
Yeah.
Second wife circuit. Yep.
So that's kind of like the story of Lilith. So the fact that this average Joe thinks that he could call Lilith a powerful entity within the Christian universe, right?
And Jewish,
right? To think that he can do to claim all of that is the hubris, you know? And it is said within the circles of the occult that Lilith will charm most men into believing that she will, you know, be on their side a little bit and then make them go freaking crazy, which is seemingly happening to this guy. And everybody's watching it kind of go down live, like video to video. He's like deader and deader in the eyes. He's more and more forlorn looking. He looks like he's dealing with some type of psychosis. Everybody's trying to armchair doctor, you know?
Love it. I'd love to see it.
Yeah. And so it's been like kind of an interesting, a little interesting day.
Yeah. He had like a music video that I stumbled upon too, which was horrendous with some girl fawning over him. What else did I see? Also, he didn't take down his prior videos. So he's still benefiting from the Lilith videos where he was still like had some kind of relationship or bond, allegedly. Self-proclaimed, right?
Wife. He says wife.
Wife energy. Okay. Yeah. And so there's lots of weird shit, but I would love a tale of demonic downfall.
Yeah, I would love it. I mean, when Lilith came out for Diablo, Diablo 4, and Mother came, I was like, heck yeah.
What is this?
Diablo, do you know the video game?
Yes.
Okay, so in Diablo 4, it's all about Lilith. And the cutscenes in this game are so good. And she literally, she's evil in the thing.
Sick.
But she's a villain with a backstory that you love too. And you feel kind of bad at the end because I won't spoil it because in case you want to play, it's like a really good playthrough. I won't spoil it for anybody who hasn't played it. But it's got a very good backstory for her, but she pretty much comes into this congregation in the beginning, this like chapel, and she's just like rose petals are falling and she's like, come home to me, don't you know? And as the player, and you know she's technically evil, like you're fighting her because she's actively killing innocent people within the game mythology of this game, the lore of the game. But you honestly are like, oh, you know, I would do that too. If this happened to me, I would do that too.
Right there with you.
So, but if we talk, okay, well, you can decide whether to cut this out or not. But if we take the mythology of Christianity just like a step further, right? And we say the Garden of Eden. Right. And we say like Eve's biggest mistake, because that's what like godly men love to hold over women's heads all the time, is like, well, you ate the apple or whatever. But Lilith had escaped Adam and was living a free life with Lucifer, little Lucy Lou. And he could have been a protagonist in a way. Of coming back and being like, hey, I'm not telling that guy over there about this cool apple tree. Okay, I'm telling you because, like, you guys, I think, deserve to have a leg up. You guys, so come with me. Here's the apple. Take a little bite from it. I know he said, don't do that. I know he said, but, you know, did he say it or did Adam say it? Was it the big guy that said it or was it the little guy? And then she takes a little bite and maybe she was going to go with him just like Lilith went. And then Adam was like, no. And then now they're,
now there's Love Island.
Now there's Love Island.
No, I love that. Not cutting it. Also, it's like kind of like a reason why the apple is the Newton Press symbol.
Oh, okay. And forbidden fruit, inside baseball. Like sensing a theme. And I love it when people are like, yeah, but women don't have the Adam's apple. And you
I do.
Know. No, you do.
But it's okay. I mean, like, whatever.
Yeah. I love how it's just got this setup that men are the actual evil ones. And you're like, but I have it. I'm like, oh, I'm just kidding. Never mind. I won't finish that.
I still love it. I still love it.
Sorry.
That's funny. So I love how we're like very comfortable talking about aliens and demons and religion and shit like this. But then there's like politics. That's too real. We can't talk about
it. I know. Politics is too divisive, although...
And depressing.
It's just depressing out there.
It's hard to find humor in it.
I think recently I've been trying to be more forgiving to myself with, like, I know I was just saying earlier how like sad I am when it's summertime. But I think a part of it is it's just kind of sad times. It's,
yeah,
you know?
Totally.
So it's like sometimes I forget, like, oh no, there's all this stuff like kind of happening around us. And I feel so... I feel so trivial and because I'm like, why does this video get freaking 3,000 people looking at it, but this video is only getting 200? And then I start scrolling and then I see like all the crap going on in the world. And it's like, that's probably why.
Yeah. It all sucks.
Yeah. We're all just consuming, trying to find good news somewhere.
In the pursuit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little tiring.
It is. What's left to do in this life if we have to navigate these uncharted waters?
I know. I'm glad I'm not on that flotilla.
That flotilla.
Isn't that what
Greta's?
Yeah, Greta's.
Yeah.
Like,
I've been calling it a tune boat, like a pontoon boat, because her last name is Thunberg.
Oh, I love that. Thunberg.
So lame.
No, I am scared to keep up with it.
Well, yeah.
Honestly. I'm
afraid to be like misled by something, and it takes so much time and effort to untangle all of it.
Yeah. And it's like, can you imagine, like, the amount of hate that child got, Greta, when she first originally, she still gets all this like absolute hatred, and she has done nothing to be forgiven for, right? And then
exactly.
You have like this guy who's running a country with felons coming out the wazoo, adulterer, all this shit. And everybody's like, well, you know, he said he's sorry. So, you know, we're not going to hate him. And I'm just like, but you're hating this child who isn't an adulterer, hasn't got any felonies?
Yeah.
I just don't understand. I guess I never will. And that's okay.
Yeah, dude. I don't know. That's very, like, kind and generous of you to say it that way. It, immediately, stuff like that is like the thing that I have a hard time empathizing with.
Yeah.
You have to work with people like that. You have to interact with people like that and not do like psychic damage to them by being like a real asshole or something on the spot. And it takes some control and some time to just like keep it to yourself, maybe for some of us, me for sure. But it's just like, I know I file away every time when someone does some bullshit, weird, can't break their own perception type stuff.
Yeah. I'm like, maybe it's because I'm such a fly on the wall but not type of person, because I'm very much in the conversation most of the time, or I'm the class clown that's like in the meeting being like, you hear that thing, my god. And then I kind of like look around and I'm like, am I the only one that's saying, oh my god, right now? Like, are we
am I
all
taking crazy pills?
Are we all okay in here? Is it just me? So sometimes I try to catch myself like, am I being overly critical right now? Because I do have the habit of being overly critical and then regretting it swiftly after the critique is voiced. Or am I being just observant and rational, and people around me are not being quite as observant?
Yeah.
You know? And this is kind of funny because my friend Lee, my dice goblin of a friend, we play a lot of video games together. She won't notice anything, and we laugh about it. Because we sit there and we go, yeah, that happened like 10 minutes ago. And then she'll be like, I had no idea. And then I'm like sitting there like, how did you not have any idea that that happened?
Yeah.
Some people just get zeroed in on something and like they're super focused on something else and they don't hear, or they train themselves to filter out problematic things or other things because of trauma and stuff like that. And
totally.
Yeah. And other people are like, I'm fixated on what's causing me trauma, so I'm picking up everything.
Oh, survival tactics.
Yeah. It's like a different survival method, you know, like saving sanity.
High alert.
Yeah. I don't save my sanity.
I have not an ounce left to give.
It's all gone.
Good luck.
Did you just sniff a candle?
Yeah, it smells really good. It's like jasmine.
Hold on. Let me get my fix, guys.
I'm allowed. Am I not allowed to sniff a candle?
I just was like in the middle of laughing and I wasn't looking at your screen directly. And then all of a sudden I just see like this spherical thing come up.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, it's your pretty one.
I love it. I guess you are judgy. I'm just kidding.
I am.
I do a lot while we're talking. I do a lot at my desk, even like at work and stuff.
Yeah. Well, you're like a professional at it. If I'm in the middle of a sentence or listening to somebody, I could be doing something with my hand, but I wouldn't be able to listen fully unless I'm like
zeroed in.
Yeah. Gotcha. I'll get the gist, but, you know, not in a good way. Don't quiz me later kind of way.
Yeah. No more quizzes for you.
Yeah. It's kind of weird, honestly. I mean, it's good.
No more teacher's dirty looks.
I know. I feel like I'm going to like age backwards for like a little bit because I won't be so stressed out and I won't be making these like faces all the time, like when their children are doing like children things.
Yeah.
But there's 21 of them and you're like overstimulated and you just want to like, what are you guys doing? I need you just to like be quiet for like a minute. But they can't be quiet for a minute, and I get it. And I was very patient as a teacher. I'm not very patient outside of the classroom because of it, because I gave it all up. So I feel like I'll become a more patient person. I have this lofty idea of, you know, me in just a couple of months.
That's great. Yeah, it's because there's less cortisol probably floating around your system from having to deal with it.
Yeah, that's a big thing too.
Have you been reading anything lately? Is there anything on your TBR?
I have an hour left of When the Moon Hatched because I got to a part, the ending, of course, where I know I'm either going to be left hanging on a cliff or something like really sad is going to happen or both. And I'm just not mentally in a state that I can like be prepared for that. Also, like, do you read books to be devastated?
No, but sometimes it's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm a little masochist. I would love to feel.
Yeah. Feeling in general is great.
Yeah. I love crying too.
Look at your like little smile, like
sheepish.
I love crying.
It's okay to cry.
I don't know what it is, but every time I see a video that goes, this book is going to devastate you, I don't want to read it. And I don't know if it's just the state of mind I'm in right now, but like a lot of readers seem to really love the idea of being devastated.
But I don't read either. So it's like, it's not like I'm devastated every week, you know?
Yeah.
It's like once every year or two.
I get devastated. I know this is controversial a little on the book talk side of things.
Let's do it.
Because Sarah J. Maas is a controversial author. And Throne of Glass, a mention of witchling, a mention will have me crying because of how powerful that series Throne of Glass was for me.
Cool.
And I was crying walking my dog around the park because I was just devastated. And there's a few times throughout that series that it is, but it's a slow burn series, right? Like a CW show, you know, like you're watching the first season of A Magical World, like Vampire Diaries. Nothing devastating really happens until you like and love the characters. You're not going to like and love the characters after one freaking season. Okay.
Yeah.
Unless you're a sensey person. There's sensitive people out there. You could be crying all the time. I don't know. I am not that way. It takes me a while. But I do know that she's a little controversial right now with in the book talk community, anti-intellectualism debates and
race issues, right?
Yeah. And there's definitely some things that have been pulled out of context from her books that I don't agree with is a problem racially. But I will agree that when she promoted her book cover was very problematic.
Yeah. For those who don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
Just a high level summary.
She came out with A Court of Silver Flames, and the main character of A Court of Silver Flames is somebody who is facing a big amount of trauma, a big amount of whatever. But Breonna Taylor incident had happened, and she posted the cover reveal and mentioned Breonna Taylor in the frickin' thing. Now, this is like way old news. This is not like a topical thing, really.
Yeah.
But I wish that she would have just come out with a statement. I wish that she would come out with a statement about a lot of things that people are lobbing against her, because the silence is deafening, right?
Yeah.
And we all make mistakes, especially white people out there. Like, you just don't know, like, what she could have seen as something shedding light on a problematic situation and an injustice, which is what she was talking about, comes off shallow when you're self-promoting. And maybe benefit of the doubt as somebody who's not done something like that crazy, but has definitely not thought I was being a problem. But then when you're called out as being a problem, and we've said this before, like, just own up to it, dude. Like, come on. People will 110% forgive you easier than if you're just like pretending discourse doesn't exist. And like, there's a lot around her, which is sad, because I really loved that series.
Throne of Glass.
Yeah. That whole series is an inspirational thing. As a writer, to create a realm that intricate, that stacks on two other realms across, is not an easy thing to do. But your silence, bro. Come on. You're making it hard for me.
To defend you.
Yeah. Like, and why do I need to defend? Okay. It's not my job.
But defend the art that you love, that means something to you. Yeah. I have that series on my Kindle. I have a hard time reading ebooks.
Mm. Yeah, I have a hard time reading ebooks too. A lot of my friends, like, I've seen Kindles, obviously, big thing. Everybody loves them. But I'm not a visual person. So if I'm reading, I need the actual book.
Mm-hmm.
I can't look at it on a screen unless I'm working a receptionist desk where I read entire Game of Thrones on my phone. Entire Song of Ice and Fire just during the day scrolling up on my phone.
Nice.
That
Those are big
good.
Books.
Yeah, I've read so much.
So yeah, can't write a good ending.
You don't like to end things.
No, I don't like to. Okay, called out. You see me.
Well,
I get it.
I start with the first sentence and the last scene, and that's it. And then I'm like, oh, okay.
That's how I read.
Oh my God, you cheater.
You know, my mom does that too. She'll go and she'll just pick up a book and she'll like go to the last pages and she'll be like, okay, I like the way this is, looks like it's going to go. So I'm going to get it. And I'm like, yeah. Mom, I think you have anxiety. And she's like, no, this is just how I like to read. And I'm like, yeah, but why do you need to know how it ends?
Curious? No. A lot of the time, the ending doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
Without reading it.
But then it's like, I will not yuck your yum, okay? I won't do it, but I can't fathom that.
Mm-hmm.
The
thing is also, like, I'll just forget about it until I'm there again.
No, so, like, what happens to me is it goes into the vault, so I remember everything that I read at the end, and then every familiar name. I'm like, oh,
you're that's checking coming your up. Cross referencing.
Well, I'm not going back. Yeah, but like, I'm like, oh, I remember that.
In your mind,
I tucked it away. It's back there. So, and then when you have like ADD or like ADHD or, you know, whatever the acronym is these days, you kind of predict a lot of things.
And but I do that anyway.
Yeah. I try not to. I actively try not to. Because I feel like I'll ruin something for me.
Really? Okay. Valid. I love being a little detective.
I know you do. I know. But I think that's like, because we talked about being judgy, INTJ, naturally judgmental. But are you, you're an INFJ, right? I like crying.
Yeah.
And I like to overthink. Which is why I can't go to the end of the book.
Oh my gosh. So similar, but so different. Well, I have to shave my toe. This has been Bam, Now You Know Everything. Check out all of our stuff that we're doing down below. And I hope you have a great rest of the week. Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody.